Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our online evening service here at Lisburn Baptist Church. We're so thankful at the minute in this time of lockdown just to have the privilege of all the technology that is available to us that we're able to meet like this online in our own homes at such a time as this. Well, the last few weeks we've been embarking on a new series in our Sunday evenings called Lesser Spotted Scripture, looking at those less familiar parts of Scripture and seeing what they have to teach us for our lives today. And last week we looked at the Old Testament obscure book to many of us of Nahum, and I said we were going to look at it in two parts, and we looked at part one last Sunday evening, and we're going to look at part two this Sunday evening and sort of close out the book of Nahum, the overview of the book of Nahum. So I want to read again the passage that we read last Sunday evening, Nahum 1 verses 1 to 15. Nahum 1 verses 1 to 15. An oracle concerning Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum of Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in the whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before him. The world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him, but with an overflowing flood he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. What do you plot against the Lord? He will make a complete end. Trouble will not rise up a second time, for they are like entangled thorns, like drunkards as they drink. They are consumed like stubble fully dried. From you came one who plotted evil against the Lord, a worthless counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and many, they will be cut down and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. And now I will break his yoke from off you and will burst your bonds apart. The Lord has given commandment about you. No more shall your name be perpetuated. From the house of your gods I will cut off the carved image and the metal image. I will make your grave, for you are vile. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feasts, O Judah. Fulfill your vows. For never again shall the worthless pass through you. He is utterly cut off. We'll end our reading there at verse 15. And as I introduced to us last week, Nahum, it was a book that was written in the 7th century BC. That if we're going to understand and apply it to our lives, then we need to understand the original context of this book. And I said in many ways the key verses are found in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 1, where we read that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. And I introduced to us these two great truths from the book of Nahum about God and his work in the world. And last week we thought about the fact that God spells disaster for his enemies. God spells disaster for his enemies. And tonight we're going to look at the fact that God spells deliverance for his people. Deliverance for his people. So we're just going to briefly recap on what we looked at last Sunday evening. And we saw these three different powers at work at the time of Nahum. And you're going to see it up on the map on the screen here. I put this map up last week and we're going to see it again just to refresh our memory. And the first power we see at work was the power of Assyria. This great empire of Assyria that was the superpower in the world at this time. It had the great capital of Nineveh, this great and powerful and huge city and metropolis in the world at that time. And this prophecy of Nahum may be given to God's people, but it's a prophecy against Nineveh, against this great empire of Assyria. Nineveh was a great and a powerful symbol. It was a city of great evil and wrongdoing. And Nahum writes to his God's people and says to them that God has seen the evil of the city of Nineveh, of the empire of Assyria. He's seen the suffering. He's seen the destruction that Assyria has caused. And Nahum is speaking God's word of judgment that God is going to pour out on Nineveh for all of its evil. So we saw this first power last week of Assyria. We then saw the second power of Judah. Little tiny Judah, the yellow on the map there, surrounded by the mighty Assyria. And Assyria had swept in and had destroyed the northern kingdom and had caused Judah to be put under tribute. And all that was left was little tiny Judah. And Assyria wanted rid of Judah. Assyria had come up and invaded and attacked before, and it just seemed like it was only a matter of time before Assyria would sweep through again and destroy little tiny Judah and blot it out of the map. Nahum's prophecy seems a ludicrous prophecy. Little tiny Judah saying that mighty Nineveh was going to be destroyed. So we see the second power last week, the little power of Judah. But then thirdly, we lifted our eyes and we saw the one who was really in control, the one who really had power. And we saw our God. And we saw that God is jealous for his people. Judah were God's people. And when God's people are attacked, that makes God angry. He is jealous for his people. But we also saw that he is slow to anger. And we thought about the fact that God had sent Jonah 150 years earlier and he'd given Nineveh every opportunity to repent. And they repented at that time, but it was short-lived. And they refuse to repent today. And we saw that our God is great in power. Our God is powerful not just to be justly angry, but to do something about it. And he had promised that Nineveh was going to be destroyed in judgment. The great city of Nineveh was nothing. It paled into comparison at the greatness and the glory and the power of God. We saw last week in the book of Nahum that it's disaster for God's enemies, for God's people's enemies. And it seemed like such a harsh message. It was so negative, so full of judgment and wrath, this terrible pain that Nineveh was going to feel. But this evening, we're going to see that other great truth in the book of Nahum, that it's deliverance for God's people. You see, Nahum, the name Nahum means comfort. This prophecy, this book of Nahum, is a message of comfort to Judah. It's a reminder to little tiny Judah, surrounded by this vast evil empire ready to destroy her, that their God, the Almighty God, was going to protect Judah. I just want to bring three things out of Nahum this evening as we bring it to a close this evening. Firstly, we want to see the comfort that God brings. The comfort that God brings. Secondly, we're going to see how God would bring this comfort. How God would bring it. And thirdly, we're going to see what we can apply to our lives today. So firstly, we see the comfort that God brings. There's a famous scene in the old BBC version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it's a famous scene between Mr. Beaver and one of the children, Lucy. And Lucy is hearing all about this great figure, Aslan. And as Lucy turns around and talks to Mr. Beaver, she asks Mr. Beaver a question. She asks him, "Is he safe? Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver looks at her in surprise and says, "Safe? Safe? Of course he's not safe." And then he pauses. And then he says, "But he is good." "Of course he's not safe, but he is good." You know, Nahum reminds us this evening that our God is not a safe God. He's the God of the whirlwind. He's the God of the earthquake. He's the God who is angry at Nineveh for its evil. He's the God who's going to bring great and terrible judgment on that city. Our God is not safe. But the comfort for Judah was Judah may not have a safe God, but Judah has a good God. The message of the book of Nahum, the comfort that God brings to his people, is that God is not safe, but God is good, and he would be good to them. Verse 7 of chapter 1, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him." He's not safe, but he is good. Imagine how Judah must have felt as a nation at that time, part of a tiny speck of a nation where everyone around you has been swept away by the might of Assyria. And every morning you wake up and you look to the horizon and you're expecting to see the Assyrian soldiers back again to destroy you and take you away. They're fearful. They're expecting defeat. And God reminds them through Nahum that he is good and he is a stronghold in the day of trouble. And we see that he is good. That is, this is a comfort for Judah through the name of God. We pointed this out last week. The covenant name for God is used, Yahweh, the name that was given to God's people. He was in relationship with these people. This is the God who had saved them from mighty Egypt. This is the God who had brought them into the promised land. This is the God who had put up with them time and time again and been faithful to them, even though they continually failed him. And Judah, as it was weak and it was fearful, needed to be reminded of who was their God. God might discipline them for their sin, but he would never abandon them. Nahum reminds them that God is not safe, but he is good. He also reminds them that they had worshipped God for this. Now, verse 7 sounds very familiar to us, doesn't it? Nahum meant it to. Verse 7, the words of it is very similar to a lot of the language of the Psalms, the songs that Judah and God's people had sung for so many years about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Psalm 118, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God's people had sang about God's goodness so many times. Not only had they worshipped God for his goodness in the Psalms, they'd also worshipped him for his protection and his help in the past. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. See, these Psalms are so similar to what God is saying through Nahum here in Nahum chapter 1, and that's deliberate. Nahum is reminding Judah that their God is not safe. He will destroy Assyria, but he is good and he will deliver his people. And he uses the same imagery and the same language of those great songs of worship to remind them of what they'd already sung about, what they'd testified to in their worship of who God is. See, I'm sure those Psalms have been sung many times in Judah as they worship God. They were a lot easier to sing in times of peace and prosperity, but now they're a lot harder to sing with a huge army at your gate ready to destroy you. That's the real test, Judah. Can you still sing that the Lord is good? Can you still sing that the Lord is a refuge, a stronghold to all who trust in him in your circumstances at the minute? What a challenge that is to us today. We still sing about the character of God, don't we? His goodness, his protection, his help. We pray about the character of God. We say amen to sermons which persuade us to trust the God that we serve. But when our Assyria comes along, that great unstoppable event outside of our control, that force that bears down for us and we feel so weak in comparison, that thing that threatens to destroy all that we love and we know, when we're surrounded and we're pressured by the circumstances of life where, humanly speaking, we seem defeated by something far stronger than us, and those cases, it's a lot harder to sing and it's a lot harder to live out in our reality every day and in our faith that the Lord is good, a stronghold to those who trust in him. And we bring it into our suffering and our circumstances and our anxieties and our fears. Can we sing that the Lord is good? Can we live it out? And we think of where we're at the moment, our current circumstances with this coronavirus. It's like an Assyria, isn't it? This unstoppable force that is bearing down on each one of us. We can't control it. We're locked in our houses or we're being put at risk at work. Many of us are worried that it might rob us of our health or even our life or the health or the lives of those we love. It's threatening our jobs. It's threatening our income and our security. What do we need to hold on to in this moment? What do we need to find comfort from the words of Nahum? We need to find comfort in what we often sing. Our God is good. And he's a stronghold and a refuge to those who trust in him. That's what Nahum tells us to do, to find out whether we do trust the character and the protection of God. It's one thing to sing it. It's another thing to put it into the test and find God faithful, that he is good, that he is a stronghold for refuge in the day of trouble. That's not to say that the day of trouble won't come, but we have a God who will sustain us through it. Nahum comforts Judah by reminding them that they had worshipped God for his goodness and his protection. Thirdly, he also brings them comfort by showing them that they'd experienced God do it in the past. See, not only did Judah have the Psalms and had sung about God's goodness and protection, they'd seen the goodness and the protection of God for themselves. You know, as Assyria bore down on Judah over all those years, as it came up to attack at different times, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Assyria had invaded Judah and had taken over the land and had laid siege to Jerusalem. And the captain of the army of Assyria had come up and made fun of Jerusalem and taunted God and said to them, "Don't trust your God. All the other nations trusted their God. And what happened to them? We destroyed them all." And he laughs at them. And Judah looked doomed and all seemed lost. And what does King Hezekiah do? He throws himself before Yahweh. And the prophet Isaiah comes with a message from God. "Don't worry, Hezekiah, God will provide the victory." Listen to the words of Isaiah 37, 33 to 37. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, "He shall not come into this city, or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield, or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into this city, declares the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, and for the sake of my servant David." And the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. See, all looked lost for Judah, yet God proved to be good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. One night he killed 185,000 soldiers of mighty Assyria. And off went the king of Assyria with his tail between his legs back to Nineveh. So that's Nahum's message of comfort. The king of Assyria might raise his ugly head again and again. He might threaten little Judah, but Nahum is bringing this message of comfort. Comfort of a covenant God who is not safe, but who is good. A God they had worshipped for his goodness and protection. A God whose goodness and protection they had seen from themselves generation after generation. It would bring them comfort in the time of trial. God comforts his people. Secondly, we see how God would bring this comfort. Not only does Nahum promise comfort, but he shows very clearly how God would bring this comfort. Firstly, we see he's going to destroy Nineveh. God would strike right at the heart of this empire, and he would set little Judah free. Listen to verse 12 and 13 of chapter 1. "Thus says the Lord, though they are full strength and many, they will be cut down and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. And I will break his yoke from off you and will burst your bonds apart." No matter how big Assyria is, God is going to defeat them. Judgment is going to come and they will bother Judah no more. God says to Nineveh in verse 14, "I will make your grave for your vile." God is going to bury Assyria, but Judah's bonds will be broken and they will be set free. How is God comforting his people? Nineveh is going to be destroyed. But also, Judah is going to be revived. Look at verse 15. "Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feasts, O Judah. Fulfill your vows, for never again shall the worthless pass through you. He is utterly cut off." And I'm sure some of the imagery of that verse is triggered in your mind. It's also found in Isaiah, the idea of the herald or the messenger coming down from the mountains into Jerusalem with good news of victory. And imagine the day in 1612 BC when Nineveh was destroyed and Assyria's power was broken. And imagine the party there was in Jerusalem, the good news. You see, when Assyria was defeated, Judah would go up freely to Jerusalem for their feasts to the Lord and their worship in the temple. There would be revival in Judah. Nahum 2 verse 2, for the Lord is restoring the majesty of Jacob as the majesty of Israel. As Nahum brings this message to a weak, weary, fearful people, as he points them to their God for comfort, to look at past blessing for assurance, he then takes their eyes to look to the future when God would defeat their enemy. And they would worship him in freedom and joy again. Keep going, little Judah. Don't give up. The Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. So this book of Nahum is a book that on the surface seems so harsh, so full of judgment. But it's a comfort to God's people. Judah would be saved. Assyria would be destroyed. God is disaster for his enemies. And he's comfort for his people. Well, thirdly and finally, how do we apply Nahum to our lives today? Well, the book of Nahum is still a comfort for God's people and still a warning for God's enemies. Our God has not changed. We can still trust in his goodness and his protection today, no matter what life throws at us. We still live in a hostile world with physical enemies. We think of our brothers and sisters in North Korea and Muslim lands who feel like little Judah, completely surrounded, about to be destroyed. And that they have a God who is good and who is their refuge in time of need. We still face this fallen world with its natural disasters and its pandemics and its suffering and its loss. And our Assyrians, they bear down on us and they overwhelm us. And yet we can go to a God who is our stronghold, a God who is good. And we can take refuge in him, find security in him. Now, God is angry at those who hurt his people. God is angry at a fallen world. God is angry at the powers of darkness. And they may all look like Assyria, and they may seem to be in control. We may seem completely powerless. But they're not in control. Our God is in control. And he will bring disaster on his enemies, and he will bring comfort to his people. Maybe you're here tonight tuning in, and you're not a Christian, and you're still an enemy of God. You're still in your sin. A wonderful thing is God is still long-suffering towards you. He's slow to get anger, and you still have an opportunity to repent, to turn away from your sin and to trust in what Christ did when he died on that cross to forgive you. And you can turn from an enemy into a friend. You can take refuge in that tower. You can find that the Lord is good and he's a refuge from your sin and from your wandering. And you can put your faith and your trust in him. So little Christian tonight, little Judah, when we feel fearful and we feel weak, when we feel ready to be consumed by the circumstances of life, and we wonder how we can be effective in a world so dark and so lost, keep going, little Judah. God is jealous for you. God is angry at his enemies. And someday he's going to come in glory, and the powers of darkness are going to be cast into hell. And those who have bullied and oppressed his people will be punished. But God is going to gather his little Judah, and he's going to take them to heaven to be with himself forever. God comforts his people. The book of Nahum, comfort for God's people. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that when we feel weak and we feel small and we feel that this world and the powers of this world and the circumstances of our lives are bearing in on us, Lord, that we have a refuge. We have one who is good. We lift our eyes to the God who is above it all, the God who is sovereign, the God who is in control, and the God who is with us. Help us to know that tonight in our circumstances. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to believe what we sing, that you are good, that you are our refuge, and that you are with us. And no matter what we face this week, Lord, no matter what trial or suffering we go through, Lord, you are with us all the way and you will bring us into glory. Father, help us to reach out with the gospel to those who are still your enemies and to see them won for you while there is time. And I do pray if there's anyone tuning in tonight who doesn't know you, that even tonight you might convict them of their sin. You might show them that they're your enemy and you might bring them to the cross of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.